Lately, I've just been thinking about the mercy of God. And so I would like to speak to you today about His mercy. For His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136. We're going to have a response here. I'm going to read one part and have you read the other part. My part will be in blue. Your part is in red up there. And I guarantee by the time we are done this morning, you are going to have your part memorized. All right? Psalm 136, I will read the blue. You respond by saying the red back to me, okay? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To Him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To Him which led His people through the wilderness. To Him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for an heritage, even an heritage unto Israel His servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Amen. 26 times you said, for His mercy endureth forever. Beautiful words when you stop and think about them. They're one of the most comprehensive statements regarding the nature of God in all of the Bible. For His mercy endureth forever. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The fact that the Lord's mercy endureth forever means that nothing can stop His mercy. Nothing can stay the mercy of God. Nothing can stop it. Are you here this morning and you're deep in sin? His mercy goes deeper than your sin. Are you here this morning and you are away from God? Are you living a life that's not counting? His mercy goes beyond that. No matter how far you've fallen, His mercy is sufficient. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed, His mercy goes a little bit further. A man was on trial down south. He was trembling with fear. The judge said, now look, fella, don't be so nervous. You're going to get justice. The prisoner said, I don't need justice. I need mercy. And that's what I need this morning. That's what you need. That's what this world needs today. We need the mercy of God. Everybody needs God's mercy. In Romans, we read, grace and peace be unto you. So whenever a Jew met somebody on the street, he would say peace or shalom. They still do it in Palestine today. Well, when you met a fellow on the street where I come from, you say hi. Or you might say howdy. But there they say peace, shalom. Paul wrote and said, grace and peace. Why did he write that? Why grace and peace? Because no one has peace until he first has grace. And then 1 Corinthians starts off, grace and peace be unto you. So does 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and both books to the Thessalonians. Paul addresses those people that he is writing to by saying grace and peace. And then when you come to 1 Timothy, it says grace, mercy, and peace. He added the word mercy. I thought about that, and I laughed as I read it. I chuckled to myself. Lord, why did you add the word mercy there? Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians were written to churches. But Timothy was a preacher. And so Paul knew that Timothy as a preacher needed mercy. I guess preachers need more mercy than anybody else. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul says grace, mercy, and peace again. And then Paul writes to another preacher. He writes to Titus. And he says grace, mercy, and peace. You see, whenever God wrote to churches, grace and peace was sufficient. But whenever he wrote to an individual, he extended mercy as well. Grace, mercy, and peace unto you. Why? Because individuals need mercy. You need mercy this morning. There's not a one of us here that doesn't need the mercy of God. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us deserve the blessing of God, and so God gives us mercy. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "Thy mercies are new every morning." Why does the Lord say that? He's merciful in the morning. Seems to me like he would say he's merciful at night, in the evening. I mean, after all, that's when we've done all of our deeds. That's when we've gotten mad. Nah, nobody ever gets mad. Just a tad bit upset. That's when we might lose our temper just a little bit, or we might have spoken some unkind words. We might have grown impatient a few times. It's at the end of the day when we look back and we feel bad over some of the things that we did today, and we say, "Lord, would you forgive me? I didn't really mean to act like that today. I didn't really mean to do that today. Lord, would you forgive me?" He forgives us, and I would think he would say his mercies are new every evening, but he says mercy is new every morning. Every day we need God's mercy to begin with, to help us through that day. And then, you know, I got to thinking about even at night sometimes our thoughts aren't right. Have you ever had a dream where you punched somebody in the nose? One of the writers of the Bible says, "Thou hast visited me in the night and hast found nothing." I mean, sometimes we can even sin at night. And so we need God's mercy morning, noon, and evening. There are things that we do sometimes that we don't even realize that we are doing, that we need the mercy of God. The psalmist said in the 19th Psalm, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults, O Lord." Secret faults. Are those the things that people don't know anything about? I think the verse is talking about the faults that I do that I don't even know about. It includes the faults that the secret things that I might do that you don't know about, but also it includes, "Lord, cleanse me from the sin that I don't know about." Those unholy motives, those tainted purposes, the things that I should do that I don't do, that I leave undone. And that's why the writer of Lamentations is able to say, "Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I got to thinking about the events in the Bible where it says that his mercy endureth forever. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 17, Solomon had finished building the temple. He comes to dedicate the temple, and when the Ark of the Covenant is brought in, the singers begin to sing, the instruments begin to play, and the writer says, "His mercy endureth forever." The king at that moment stood and he prayed a prayer of dedication over the building. And while he was praying, Solomon stopped and it said, "His mercy endureth forever." I got to thinking about how God blessed them with the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies so that no priest could even stand in it and minister. And they said, "His mercy endureth forever." I got to thinking about this church and how God has blessed it over the years, and I couldn't help but think, "His mercy endureth forever." And when the Holy of Holies in the temple was opened and the glory of God came down and filled that place, they began to sing, "His mercy endureth forever." But that isn't all. In 1 Chronicles 16, 41, the phrase is mentioned again. The Ark of the Covenant had been removed from Israel. The Philistines had taken it to Gath and Ekron and Ashdod. For years, the Ark of the Covenant had been gone. But then David made a way for the Ark to come back. And while the Ark is being marched back to his home, as it's coming back to Jerusalem, David said again, His mercy endureth forever. And then there's a third time. The temple was destroyed. The Israelites were led away into captivity in Babylon. The walls were leveled. Their homes had been destroyed and the temple had been desecrated. For 70 homesick long years, those Israelites lived away from home. For 70 years, they sat down and they wept by the river Shebar in Babylon. They were so upset they wouldn't play their harps and they couldn't sing psalms of joy. One day God burdens Zerubbabel to return and rebuild the temple. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 11 tells how God's people came from far and near. They laid the foundation for the rebuilding of God's house. The people were happy. The people found joy again. The Bible says that the singers played, the players of instruments played, and the people shouted, God's mercy endureth forever. Would you please just stop and think with me this morning of the mercy of God in your life? The sins that you committed, the things that you did, the mercy that covered those things? Or how about simply the outright blessings of God and the mercy that He has demonstrated to you day by day, month by month, year by year? Think about maybe something you did this week, some wrong thought or some sin you might have committed, some harsh words you might have spoken. We're guilty of things, envy and covetousness and things that we've said when we should have just kept quiet. And yet the dear Lord looks down from heaven and His mercy endureth forever. He's long-suffering. He's patient. His mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 107, verse 1, it tells us His mercy endureth forever. In these Psalms, as it did the Psalm that we read, Psalm 136, so the seas were parted, for His mercy endureth forever. And Pharaoh's armies were drowned, for His mercy endureth forever. And He fed us with manna from heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. And He gave us water from the rock, for His mercy endureth forever. Over and over again, the psalmist remembers the blessings of the past. And he says, for His mercy endureth forever. And then the psalmist said in Psalm 106 and 107 and Psalm 118, verse 1, His mercy endureth forever. I want you to think about that this morning. Think about the past mercies of God. Can you say, His mercy endureth forever?
Mercy endureth forever.
It does. His mercy endures through all generations. His mercy endureth forever. God puts up with people like me. And God uses people like me. And He uses people like you. And He loves us. And He demonstrates His mercy to us. Then again, you find in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 11, His mercy endureth forever. This time, Jeremiah is looking ahead. He saw the kingdom coming. He saw the wolf lying down with the lamb. He saw the little child leading a lion down the street. He saw the kingdom of righteousness and peace. And Jeremiah said, praise the Lord. Look what He has in the future for me. His mercy endureth forever. I'm telling you, God's mercy is not just for the past. God's mercy is for the present, and we will see God's mercy in the future. His mercy endureth forever. Did you know that God will be merciful to you as long as you live? When you young people get old, the mercy of the Lord will still endure. When you people who are of middle age get toward your senior years, His mercy will still endure. And you seniors, even as you continue to grow in your life, His mercy will be there. His mercy endures forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then when you come to the valley of the shadow, His mercy endureth forever. When you cross the chilly Jordan and go into the presence of our Lord, His mercy is just beginning. When we see Him, His mercy endures forever. When we rise to meet Him in the air, His mercy endures forever. When we come back to earth with Him, His mercy endures forever. When we walk the streets of gold and through the gates of pearl, His mercy endures forever. When we've been with Him 10 million years, His mercy endures forever. That means that no matter what happens, God's mercy will still be there. His mercy will last forever. You cannot get outside of His mercy. You know that? You cannot get outside. You cannot get away from the mercy of God. If you go to the depth of the sea, His mercy is there. You might go higher than any man has ever gone, but His mercy is there. God's mercy, listen to me, God's mercy goes beyond your deepest sin. God's mercy goes beyond your loneliest hour. His mercy endures forever. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I told a story when I first came. You might remember it, might not. Some of you might have heard this at North Central because it's a story, true story that happened in the family of Gordon Anderson. And I heard him tell this story in chapel service one day. It's a story of adoption. He had a brother. We'll call them John and Mary. And they were unable to have any children. And so they thought of adopting. And they thought in particular of adopting a little boy because they lived on a farm. And they thought a boy would love to live on a farm. And so they made arrangements with an orphanage to adopt, at least look at a boy who was 7 years old. And the day came when they arrived at the orphanage and they met the director who took them to this little boy's room. And they knocked on the door and they opened the door. And when the door was opened, they were confronted with a situation that they just didn't quite know how to deal with. You see, the 7-year-old boy had a younger brother. His younger brother was 5 years old. And he knew that some people were interested in adopting his older brother. And he also knew that if they adopted his older brother, he might never see his brother again. There wasn't much that he could do about the situation, but he did all that he could. He took all of his belongings and he packed them in a small cardboard box. And they were sitting there next to him on the bed. And the little boy was hoping that the people who were interested in his older brother just might take him along too. And as John and Mary stood there in the doorway, there was a long, awkward silence. And John's eyes went from one little boy to the next little boy, to the director, and then down to the floor. And then back to the older boy, to the younger boy, to the director, and back to the floor. Finally, after a while, the director of the orphanage said, "Why don't you take both boys home to the farm for the weekend? And then you can decide which one, if either of them, you would like to adopt." John never told him how absurd that statement sounded. Take both boys, try them out for the weekend, decide which one, if either, we would like to adopt. But it wasn't long until two little boys were in the back seat and they were heading to the farm for the weekend. John said he never looked back. He could see them both through his rearview mirror. And as they were traveling to the farm, the little boy looked at his older brother and he said, "Do you think we're going home? Never to go back to the orphanage again?" And then he said, "Let's be real good so that they'll like us." John never said a word. He couldn't. Big salty teardrops began to fill his eyes and to spill down his cheek. He watched those two boys from the rearview mirror. He knew that the decision would not be announced for 3 days, but he also knew that in that moment, the decision had been made. His family would add two little boys. When we think of adoption, we need to allow ourselves to see the tragedy of the world reflected in the faces of two orphan boys. If we could understand in just a measure the love and the compassion and the mercy of a farmer for two broken boys, then maybe we could gain some insight into the love of Almighty God for a lost and broken human race. You'd help us to turn our attention to the question of human works and God's grace in the business of redemption and our adoption as sons. Listen, if I told you that when they got to the farm, John told the two boys to get out of the car and ordered them to run down to the silo and back and hinted that only the fastest runner would have the chance of adoption. Or if John got them to the farm and he said, okay, guys, I want you to have a contest. I want to see who can lift the most hay bales or who can milk cows the fastest. And only the one who was the best worker stood the chance of adoption. What would you think of John? You would write him off as a hard and calloused man, incapable of human sympathy. And you would be right. We would expect more of him in light of the boy's needs. But some people have no better view of God. They see him holding out adoption as some kind of reward for good behavior and taking that adoption away if there is a mistake or if the newly adopted one brings embarrassment to the family. Let's remember something. The two boys in the orphanage did not have the benefit of a good home. They didn't have the good training that some of us had. They didn't have the good manners, the clean speech, or the cultivated ways. They were cast off. Life had broken them, not built them up. The process, the training process started after their adoption, not before. And the same is true of those whom God adopts. To suggest that God requires works before adoption is an insult. It's an insult to a loving God who brings to himself the weary, the sick, the broken of this world and makes them his children. The chorus to the great hymn, Redeemed, by Fanny Crosby, says it well. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Jesus made the plan of God clear in John 14:18 when he was teaching his disciples about the Comforter. And the word he used to describe the human situation is the Greek word orphanos. Perhaps no more graphic and moving picture of God's love and mercy could be drawn when he looked at his disciples and said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Please understand that God uses acceptance to build people. He accepts us first, and then he begins to build on us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This is just one of the things that blows me away. God took me and accepted me just the way I was. Just as I am, I come to thee. He accepted me as I was. He adopted me and placed me in his family. That truth begins to build us and not destroy us. In fact, I've read recently, I think this is probably true as I think about it, man's greatest fear is rejection. God conquers that fear by acceptance. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever comes to me, I will not ever reject, but I will accept them. You recall the story of the two men who came to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Pharisee said, I am thankful I'm not as he is. I'm a good man. I don't commit all the dirty sins he commits, and I do the things, good things he doesn't do. But the publican could not so much as lift his eyes up to God, up to heaven. He simply smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, if you are here this morning and you are in sin, do you know today that if you died, do you know if you would go to heaven or not? Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy, He'll save you. His mercy endures forever. This morning, God can save any person in this room who would simply look to Him and say, "Go, oh God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me." The mercy of God would cover every sin of your life because His mercy endures forever. You say, "Are you sure, Pastor? You don't know some of the sins I've committed. Are you sure that His mercy could cover me?" Yes, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "God is rich in mercy." His mercy reaches out to you this morning. The word endure, His mercy endures forever. That word endure means nothing can stop it. It comes from a Greek word which means to conquer. It literally means His mercy conquers forever. So you have heartaches? His mercy conquers heartaches. So you have sin? His mercy conquers sin. So you have sickness? His mercy conquers sickness. His mercy conquereth forever. He could say with the songwriter, Dr. Weigel, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus." It's in the music center at Tennessee Temple College. They built a little apartment for Dr. Weigel. He was nearly 100 years old when it was finished. I read about it at the dedication. The mayor came and cut the ribbon. And after most people had gone, a voice inside his room was heard saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." There was a knock on his door. He came to the door with a look of heaven on his face. "Doctor, what are you doing?" He clapped his hands together and said, "I'm just practicing for heaven." We got to practice for heaven a little bit this morning and say, "Blessed be God, His mercy endureth forever." Can you say it? His mercy endureth forever. Go home today. Let this thought just sink in and grow, cultivate and grow about God's mercy. That's what's been happening to me. His mercy endureth forever. Just go home and start thinking about that. As you sit down to eat your meal today, begin to think how God is merciful to you. And say to yourself, His mercy endureth forever. Reach up and touch your eyes this morning. Can everybody see? His mercy endures forever. If you can hear the beautiful music being sung and played today, His mercy endures forever. If you can walk out of this church building this morning, you can say His mercy endures forever. When the kingdoms of this world have crumbled for the last time, His mercy endureth forever. When dictators have waged their wicked battles for the last time, His mercy endureth forever. When the stars have fallen like untimely figs from a tree shaken by the wind, His mercy endureth forever. When the sun refuses to shine, His mercy endures forever. When people shall die no more and cemetery shall not dot the horizon, His mercy endureth forever. When shoulders shall never stoop, nor brows wrinkle, nor faces become furrowed, His mercy endureth forever. When all of us awake in His likeness to live forever around His throne, His mercy endureth forever. Blessed be God. His mercy endureth forever. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you this morning. You need to have God's grace and God's mercy displayed to you before you can have peace. And the peace that I'm talking about today is peace with God. Are you here today and you have not asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Maybe you've tried to just be a good person. Maybe you've tried to work your way into God's favor. I'm here to tell you it won't work. He wants to adopt you into His family as one of His children. It's not by any works of righteousness that you could do, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us and washes us, cleanses us with His shed blood. And so is there anybody here by a raised hand this morning you would say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Savior, but I would like to this morning. Could you raise your hand? Is there anybody here this morning, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. Then, Christian, do you really realize that you need God's mercy? If you're here today and you want God to show Himself merciful to you, you need His mercy. Would you raise your hand with mine? Lord, today we need Your mercy. We ask for it. Lord, we need Your mercy every day. Great is Your mercy. And great is Your faithfulness to display Your mercy to us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand how You demonstrate Your mercy on a day-by-day basis, that the words, "Your mercy endureth forever," would be continually upon our lips. I pray for those that are in sin today, Lord, that they would have grace, mercy, and peace. They would have the grace to repent, that Your mercy would cover their sin, and they would find peace and victory and overcoming of that sin today. Lord, I pray for those who are burdened by sorrow and have heartache today. I pray that Your mercy would go just a little bit further than their heartache, their loneliness, that they would be able to utter the words from their heart this morning, "For His mercy endureth forever." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I would like to be so bold today as to teach you a song. It's called "The Mercies of God." It's a hymn. It's not in any of our hymnals. I think what we'll do is, since I'm not very good at carrying a tune, I'm going to have the ladies play the verse and the chorus, and then maybe we could sing just a verse and a chorus until we get to know it. We're not going to learn this all this morning, but if we could, it's pretty easy, really. So if you guys could play a verse, the verse and the chorus for us. Nancy doesn't know it. Gail will play it. Stand. Let's try the first verse and the chorus. "The mercies of God, what a theme for my song. Oh, I never could number them all. They're more than the stars in the heavenly dome, or the sands of the return can I make for mercy so constant and sure? I'll love Him, I'll serve Him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure." Let's try the chorus again. Had some of you heard this before or not? Maybe my has, I don't know. She kind of sounded like it. Let's try the chorus again. "For mercy so great, what return for mercy so constant and sure? I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have, as long as my life shall endure. Amen. We'll work on this, a good song.